And it's past 12. You're on Business Insights with Mario and Darren on a live 90.5. And no Mario this morning. He's elsewhere, but he'll be back next week. And I'm flying solo. So hopefully I can keep you all up to date with the best business tips. And we've got some great guests coming in as well today for you. Business Insights with Mario and Darren is your number one weekly business talk show where true unsung business heroes share their business tips for you for free. We thank the sponsors of Alive 90.5 FM for their generous support over many years. Without sponsorship, Alive 90.5 FM would not be able to keep the lights on, the transmitter running, and we would go silent on air. If you'd like to sponsor Alive 90.5, please reach out to our chair lady, Gillian, via mail at alive905.com.au. Businesses are doing it tough, one of the tougher times since the GFC and maybe the toughest time ever for the younger generation. Business Insights aims to help you keep nimble in your business and manage the tough times to stay alive and be ready to grow in the future. We will find a vaccine, we will get back to normal, and we will be able to meet face-to-face again, sharing business insights. As I said, you'll note the absence of the most sexiest voice on the planet, the great Mario Beckers. Mario cannot be with us today. He will be back next Wednesday. For today, you are in my hands. We have two guests today sharing their business insights and tips for you. Both have been on the show before, and both are very generous to be on with myself, flying solo. And without further ado, I'd love to introduce to you Matt Coopens, who's in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, and a very good morning to your listeners. Actually, it is good afternoon in our time zone right now, 12 o'clock.
It goes
so fast.
It does go so fast. Unless we put ourselves in Western Australia, it is the afternoon now. And that actually slips us up sometimes, being on the morning on Wednesday and afternoon on the Friday afternoon. And just before we go on, may I introduce, and it is Matt Coopens, and Matt is a leading business application expert with over 25 years of experience bringing success to companies in using software. From the many implementations at customers ranging from very large to very small, and the development work Matt contributed to various implementation methodologies, Matt realized that the leading factor for success is not the software nor the methodology, it is the simplicity that drives a customer to truly own the situation, which enables lasting success. Instead of looking at maximum features, it's about maximizing value. 80% of the value of a business system is generated by 20% of the features. And as I said before, Matt was on about a month ago,
Exactly a month ago.
And sharing some great tips and insights with us. And from that, I thought, what better to come back today, rainy Friday, but let's not dampen our spirits, and we can actually share some great insights for the listeners this afternoon. I was going to say morning, but this afternoon. And I know, Matt, just before we get on, people will be listening. They might be listening to us for the first time. If you are, thank you, listeners, and they will hear the accent. A quick summary of who Matt is and how you have been in Australia and in Baulkham Hills on the best radio talk show sharing your business tips.
Well, being on the best radio talk show is truly a privilege, especially if you get invited back, which is very, very grateful for that. My accent, I am born in the Netherlands, so it is a Dutch heritage accent, not a complete Dutch accent. We have moved around since I was very small. I spent some time in the US, Eastern Europe, in New Zealand, in Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and now live in Australia since 2006. We are truly Australians now. We got a passport and we're not moving away. But they did not hand out the accent, so I'm kind of stuck with that for the rest of my life.
And I know you've got a family, and they've traveled around the world with you as well. What are their accents like?
My wife is from the Philippines. We met in Saudi Arabia, actually. So we were neighbors in Saudi Arabia, and then all of a sudden, tens of thousands of kilometers away when we both moved back to our own countries. My eldest son was born in the Netherlands, but grew up first few years, actually after when he was turning three, he moved to New Zealand. I followed a couple of months later. And then my youngest son, he was actually born here in Australia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I know we were chatting yesterday, and so your eldest son was getting a very heavy New Zealand accent, you were saying.
At the moment he started asking if we had earbags, I go like, what are you on about? He said, well, you got earbags. I go,
earbags?
What do you mean, earbags? Right? He said, well, when you have an accident. And then there's the New Zealand car, the foul rotation. And we said, well, you got to move out because I'm not understanding my son. And at the time, he was 5 years old.
It was interesting. So I've been doing a little looking into voiceover work and how to do accents and how accents originate. And it's a lot about the mouth, but also where the air is in the mouth as well. And so it's quite amazing that the kind of the Scottish heritage of a lot of New Zealand mixed with that more English, Australian has develop such a unique accent that they have. It is quite amazing.
Well, dealing with people from all over various states in the US, obviously you can hear where they're from. Also, then you deal with people in New Zealand and Australia, but also in the Netherlands, which is really small. We all speak Dutch, but with a very different accent, and even the sense of humor is different between Amsterdam and Rotterdam, for instance, or Amsterdam and The Hague. And it's distance 25, 35 kilometers from the major cities in the Netherlands. It's that small.
Well, I thought we had to be like nearly 1,000 kilometers apart, you know, Queensland, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane.
Yeah, no.
That's quite amazing. But I know, Matt, so you've traveled widely. You've also had a large business career that's got you to the point you are today. A quick summary for our listeners. So when you share your tips, they know where it's coming from and what experience it's coming from. Across your career?
Yeah, so I've been implementing sales and implementation of business applications for 25 years. And if you ask me next year, it's still 25 years. So for the last few years, it was 25 years. So that's not going to change. And that's, you know, it's logistics systems, business, giant business systems for manufacturing, but also customer relationship management before the term CRM was invented. So that was at the time started with sales activity management, which is basically doing, you know, setting reminders in your calendar that you needed to call someone about something.
Interesting you say about that. So before it was sales activity and now it's customer relationship. It kind of follows the change in looking from getting the sale to looking after the customer.
Correct. So it went from sales activity management, which mainly a reminder system for to work with customers, to Salesforce automation, which is, you know, getting the best process out there for your Salesforce, into customer relationship management, which is the overall customer strategy. And CRM by itself is not just an application. It is actually a strategy first, and an application is a tool to implement that.
So what was that again?
So CRM, customer relationship management, everybody thinks about, oh, that's a piece of software. Yes, that's the tool. There is actually a strategy behind that, right? What is your customer relationship management strategy? And a very easy way to break that down, and it doesn't matter if you're a small business or a large business, a very easy way to break that down is in the Tweetsche and Wiersema model, the value disciplines model. Where
great. CRM strategy, love to hear about that. We'll just take a short break, and we will be back because there's lots to talk about of CRM strategy. As Matt says, it's a strategy much more than a software. You're listening to Business Insights on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5. So many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me her song. And so many dreams I kept deep inside me, alone in the dark. But now you've come along. Adrift on the water, could it be finally I'm turning for home?
chance to say, hey, I love you. Never again to be all alone. You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my night with song. You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light
market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit Real Property Buyers .com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
The C word, cancer. It's different in a young person's world. Luckily, Canteen is here to fill the lives of those aged 12 to 25 with better C words, like connection, compassion, communication and counselling. Canteen gives young people the skills and support to face cancer, whether it's their own or a loved one's. Please visit canteen.org.au to donate and let young people know when cancer comes crashing in, Canteen can help pick up the pieces.
You are listening to Alive 90.5, serving the Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas since 1992.
Past 12, you're on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. But where's Mario? He's not with us today. He'll be back next Wednesday. I'm flying solo, and in the studio with me is Matt Koopmans, talking everything CRM strategy. And you're saying, Matt, that it's a strategy above and beyond the software.
That is correct. The software is a tool, but you need to have the strategy beforehand. And what is really helpful is to have a model to hang that strategy on. What I found for actually any size business that is a very comprehensible model and it's easy to understand is the 3C and Wiersma value disciplines model. And what they do is they break the value disciplines into three main areas. So you got customer intimacy, you got operational excellence, and product leadership. Now, customer intimacy means that you are together with the customer, right? It's consultative selling. You build a customer profile. You actually know the customer as well, or sometimes even better than they know themselves. And you give that added value advice. Operational excellence, think around that you're super predictable in how you deliver things. Think about your supermarket. The groceries is very operational excellence oriented, right? Then you have product leadership. Think about your exotic sports car, the top of the range exotic sports car, the ones that cost maybe $1 million. You have them,
so right? Maserati, even above and beyond Porsche.
Way above that, maybe even, right? If you're in that market. Now, you need to choose one of those elements as your primary focus.
So just there again, yeah. We had the intimacy, the operational, and the third one.
It's the product leadership.
Product leadership.
Right. It's if you think a product, then people give that as the example. Now, in the IT, think about search engines. Well, one of them is a product leader because we use that as a verb.
Exactly. I was going to say, we might get tripped up here in this conversation. we'll
same as with
best.
The phones. If you say a smartphone, you actually use the brand name of a particular company.
Yes.
As an example, even though there are other brands out there. So that's a good example of product leadership. Now, if you choose one of those elements to focus on, and don't focus on all of them because that means you focus on nothing, right? If you choose one of them to focus on, you still have a constraint that you need to meet the minimum bar of the other ones. It's what the market expects. So if you're in the aerospace and defense industry, you go like, well, we're going for customer intimacy. Yeah, that doesn't mean you can leave your operational excellence out of the equation because you can't have your planes falling out of the skies. But yeah, but our customers love us, right? That's just not going to happen. So you need to follow the market constraints on what you're doing. And once you have that, then you go like, okay, how is my CRM application helping me manage achieving that strategy? So for instance, customer intimacy is like, well, I need to know a lot about my customers and do a lot of proactive research and do consultative selling with them. That is a different thing than if I do operational excellence.
So intimacy, just a question there. So something, would a special little darkish fizzy drink be something where they want to be quite intimate with their customers, but how do they do that with their CRM?
Well, it's for a dark fizzy drink, think of loyalty programs or little contests and games, right? So you actually get to know your customers by name, even though the dark fizzy drink producer doesn't deal directly with your customers, because you can't go to their factory distribution center, hey, give me a bottle of your dark fizzy drink, right? Mm. You have to go through their retailers. So they built that brand and actually built that database of their users, even though they don't directly deal with you, right? Now, for a dark fizzy drink, it's not so much the customer intimacy that they're driving their strategy on, right? I mean, they are looking more at operational excellence, because you look at who is buying the dark fizzy drinks from them is the supermarkets. And they drive on low margins, high turnover, everything just in time.
So it's interesting that every business, large or small, really needs each of these pillars of a strategy around their customers.
And look around, what is my customer expecting from me? So for instance, let's take a candy bar. What is the buying process of a candy bar? Where you go like, well, it's in a retail store, you either buy it or you don't. Well, they're actually
they're the ones at the checkout, aren't they?
They're at the checkout, and that's for a good reason, because they're also on eye height of children. And they have cartoony characters, which the name is written bold, right? So everything is in there to influence the influencer. Who's the influencer? Well, that's the child that's getting bored in the checkout when you're waiting in the line.
So my child is now the influencer.
The child is the influencer.
I thought it was someone who I see on LinkedIn or Facebook.
That's the social media. But the child is the influencer on this purchase.
Oh, wow.
They go like, Mom, can I have one? Dad, can I have this? And if you're waiting long in line and your child is getting more and more impatient, you're kind of like, okay, let's put it in. It's only a few dollars. For you, it's only a few dollars, but here's what it does. It's a high margin, low value product. So for you, it's an impulse buy, but for the supermarket, if they sell enough of it, it actually gets their average margin up. So if you're selling the same candy bar to the supermarket, what you're selling them is actually something else. You're not selling the candy bar. You're selling them additional margin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and then your whole deal structure is like, how are you selling it? So how are you going to guarantee the margin?
If we loop back to the intimacy here, mm-hmm. and I'm going to challenge you a little bit, but thinking about the candy bar and the kid, now a parent's going to get a bit annoyed if the kid's always asking for a candy bar. Mm-hmm. So they might lose the intimacy with that brand, or the brand might lose the customer's intimacy. How do they balance that?
So it's obviously there's this very smart advertising campaigns. It's also, this candy bar is much healthier than the other candy bar, so it's a lot less bad for you. It actually helps them grow and develop, and smart kids eat this. And so you influence the decision maker as well, because ultimately there's a decision maker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the customer intimacy is actually done on a skip level. The candy bar producer is building a brand and influencing the positive vibes around that brand. And because the purchase is small enough, one candy bar versus a whole bag is a different decision, right? So, the one candy bar, you know what? You've been good at school today. Here's a candy bar, right? So it's a whole different decision process. But if I was buying that as a supermarket, I go like, well, I'm not buying the candy bar. I'm buying that additional margin. So how do you stock it up? Why would they buy your candy bar? How much am I making on this candy bar versus the other one? And those type of decisions, and then there will be different decision makers in that process. So the whole deal process is a lot more direct.
So I see there was a lot that you have to do within a CRM or even a sales pipeline tool. But just before we get to that, the third pillar there, if I may call them pillars, was product leadership. So in the candy bar example, how would they want to be seen as a product leader? Is that because kids talk about it at school? Is it because it's talked about at the dinner table as a verb, like when we're talking about certain search engines? For the candy bar, though, how do they be the product leader?
There is a product leader in candy bars, although it's a much more commoditized market. So it's a very ethereal space to be a product leader, because tomorrow you cannot be and there's the next rage. But think about, there's one candy bar, it's a bar named after a planet.
Ah.
Right? And yes, we actually mean all the other candy bars as well.
Yes, and I was actually thinking in my mind, which one could I think about? And from my youth just came back a very well-known tune that I could sing, but we won't, and it matches the one you're thinking of just there.
Correct.
Okay, so product leader. So we've got intimacy, operational excellence, product leadership. How does that all relate back to the CRM being a strategic tool for your business?
All right. So if I'm operational excellence, is that my goal, then I make sure that all the information I have about my customers and about the deals I'm talking about and about the logistics that I have is at my fingertips. So if you call me with a question, and let's say it's a help desk. Let's say you're a telco, right, and you receive a call. Do I need to repeat myself every time that you'll be transferred to a new agent? That's not customer. That's not operational excellence. Mm. That costs you time, but it costs me time. So the call to resolution time is longer, and your experience is less, right? If you're a product leader, how does your CRM change? Is, well, you need to get those influencers in your CRM system. They may not buy that much from you, but they are influential in putting your brand out there. So you work on the influencer status. If you're in the customer intimacy element and you look like, okay, what type of product am I buying? Is it impulse buy? Then you may think about loyalty programs or games. There's a famous game with certain fast food chains that you can play and win stuff. That's how you get, you know, data on your customers and actually start suggesting things to them. Another one is e-commerce retailer that suggests people that have bought this also bought that. And that's an automated mass customer intimacy. Even though they don't know who you are, they know your behavior and start making predictions.
Thoughts, when we're talking about customers, are we talking about a named person, say Mario? So Mario's buying the candy bar and we want to track what Mario's doing. Mm. Or are we talking about Joe X, who is a kind of a persona of a person that we're tracking information about?
It depends on your business. So if I have a very personable business, like for instance, business applications, my customers are not just businesses, but also individuals in the business, and I know them, right? So for me, it's around understanding what makes them tick. Well, how do they get rewarded? How do they get, you know, how does their business grow? How do they meet their targets? And that's different from one business to the next. If we look at, I'm selling a commoditized product, like fast food, they're not so interested in me as Matt, but they are interested in me as a person with a certain behavior that they have a persona for. So they start aggregating large-scale data and pushing that in. So it depends on your business. If you're in the mass market with a very commoditized product, you work with personas, and you allocate and you try to get those personas as accurate as you can by amassing a lot of data, what your customers are actually doing.
Fabulous information, Matt. You're on Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, and we're talking to Matt Koopmans, everything about CRM strategy and intimacy, operational excellence, and product leadership as well. A few messages from our sponsors, and we'll be talking more about CRM strategy. Business Insights on Live 90.5.
Live 90.5. It's really been a while, but now I got back that smile. I'm so faithful.
her day. Going through motions, felt so fake. Not myself, not my best. Felt like I failed the test. But every tear has been a lesson. Rejection can be God's protection. Long hard road to get that redemption, but no shortcuts to a blessing. Yeah, I'm faithful. Scratch that, baby, I'm faithful. Gotta say it's really been a while, but now I got back that smile. I'm so faithful. Scratch that, baby, I'm faithful. Now you see me shine from a mile. Finally got back that smile. I'm 2.0. Remodeled, used to be dull, now I sparkle. Had a piece of humble pie. That eagle trick saved my life. Now I got a smile like Lionel Richie. Big and bright, need shades just to see me. Trying to stay alive just like I'm the Fiji's. I'm on the Lisa masterpiece. Yeah, I'm faithful. Scratch that, baby, I'm faithful. Gotta say it's really been a
property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. Melrose Park, developed by Pace, is one of Australia's largest urban renewal projects, providing new homes, jobs, retailing, parks and open spaces and community facilities. Located around 6 kilometres east of Parramatta, Melrose Park is considered to be one of Sydney's next property hotspots. For more information on this exciting project, go to www.melroseparkcom.au. Station sponsor Pace, transforming places since 1978.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
You are listening to Alive 90.5.
If you'd like to know more about us, jump onto our website.
www.alive905.com.au.
Minutes to 1, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. But no Mario. No, he's not with us today. But I do have Matt Koopmans in the studio with me. We're talking everything CRM strategy, going through the ideas of intimacy, operational excellence, product leadership. Matt, do you have more for us?
Well, it's great to have a strategy, and that's a start, but you actually do need that tool to get that working. And between you, me, and the tens of thousands of listeners that are listening in right now.
Millions,
I'm sorry. It will be a secret.
Oh, wow, a secret to share our listeners.
Acronym, so
now, just checking, this is for free for our listeners?
Today, only today.
Free for today. Okay. You've got it here on Business Insights with Mario, Matt Koopmans sharing his secret.
Yeah, so there are five rules you need to follow to get an effective CRM, and your whole team needs to follow them. And that's what the secret is. If rule number one, that's the S, right? It needs to be simple. You need to have it simple. Rule number two is you need to engage your entire team, and we'll break it down later, right? So engage the team, make it engaging. Rule number three is it has to be consistent. So the data you generate has to be consistent. Otherwise, you can't measure on it and not forecast. Rule number four, got to be real. The data has to reflect reality, even if you don't like it sometimes, right? Because you can only make changes in your behavior if you know what's going on and what works and what doesn't. And rule number five is you got to get it everywhere. So we got SICRE. And the T is for the team, because the whole team needs to follow these rules.
The T. T at the end of the team.
Yeah, so that's the secret.
I love teamwork.
It's CRM is fundamentally team oriented. Now, and you can say, I'm just a solopreneur. It's my business. I'm only alone. Why do I need a CRM? Well, guess what? You're selling to your client. Takes two to tango.
It does take two to tango.
That's the teamwork.
You're on Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and Matt Koopmans is just sharing his secret of CRM. Simple, engaged, consistent, real, everywhere, and team.
Mm.
Want to break it down for us?
All right. So let's start with simple. In the intro, you mentioned 20% of the features deliver 80% of the value. And that's true for everything. So that's also true for CRM. So all the bells and whistles you want to keep adding to it, and they actually a gold plating solution, they get more and more expensive, more and more complex for your users, and therefore they don't use it. So if I give someone a task to do a very complex deal management system with, let's say, 20 steps and seven workflows and you name it, people go like, this is confusing. I don't want to do this. You know what? I'm just going to say that I won the deal.
Oh, and because I'm kind of falling asleep right now. Sounds hard.
Make it easy for people to follow. Make your CRM actually suggest the next steps.
Right on.
Keep the steps as simple as you can get away with. Not simpler. I think that is Einstein said. Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. That rule applies to your CRM as
Beautiful.
Well. Simple is elegant.
Simple. Right? It just works for me. Yeah. Works for our listeners.
And then you come with the engaging part. You got to make it engaging. So if I just fill out the CRM, I had to call with the customer. I need to note that down. First of all, why did you have to call with the customer? You needed to change the deal status, right? Otherwise, you just have to go, hey, how are you going? Great day today. It's a bit cold. No one wins with that. So whenever you have a customer interaction, it is to move the needle closer to the sale.
So as you engage, you want to move.
You want to move as you engage. And therefore, your CRM needs to be engaging you as a person, as the user. Like, hey, this is what you need to do with the client. You need to have this call here, or you need to bring in that stakeholder in order to move the needle. So therefore, every action you take is reflected in the CRM. And the CRM can then suggest you the next action to take, because that's how you win the deal. And which brings immediately the third one, which is keep it consistent.
So what do you mean by consistent? In the software or in the team?
So you configure the software in such a way that you're able to serve the clients in their buying process, right? Because that's how they buy stuff. But allow yourself to align the buying process to your selling process. So in other words, if you have a specific toll gates you have to go through as a buyer, then obviously I need to follow that as well. I can't say like, oh, no, you can't buy from me yet because I need to give you a formal quote first,
right? No. Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah.
But you do need to have a consistent policy in saying like, well, we found out that if we do this type of deal, this type of customer, this type of product, in these steps that we have a higher success rate. You want to replicate that higher success rate. So you keep that consistent. Now, what happens when you keep it consistent? You got consistent stages in your deal. And a consistent stage means that if it is in this stage, we know that 20% of those deals will come through to a close, and we will win them. If it's in the next stage, actually that number goes up to 30%. That means you can start making predictions on your future revenue. So if I have a consistent deal stage and I can start making predictions on the revenue that's coming in, then I can see 2-3 months in the future, like, hey, I'm running out of active deals. I need to do more marketing. Otherwise, you get this sawtooth revenue model, right? When you make a lot of money, feast and famine, it's also called.
It sounds really good, but I know the next point. Mm-hmm. You got to keep it real.
You have to keep it real. Data doesn't get better when you ignore it, right? So if you're...
What's that? Data doesn't get better when you ignore it.
Right?
I love that. So what's that again? Say it again, Matthew, so we can capture this, because it's a bit of a gold thought.
Data doesn't get better when you ignore it. So in other words, if a client gives you feedback like, well, you know what, we're not going to buy this fiscal year. And for a lot of companies, they are quarterly driven, some of them are annually driven. They don't want to update their CRM system because like, oh, no, I'm getting trouble, right? It has to be real data. And the other thing is, like, in some larger organizations, a lot of the incentives are based on the sales cycle. So people put deals in the pipeline and they say, well, it's actually going to close next quarter because this quarter I've already made my numbers. So if I move it to the next quarter, then I maximize my incentives. And hey, you hire salespeople, that's the behavior you're going to get.
Yeah,
right? The coin operated, right? The great salesperson is coin operated. But your incentives are actually causing your clients getting a worse outcome, right? They need to buy it when they actually must have it, not when your salesperson maximizes their bonus. So is keeping it real is make sure that the data you get in is actually the factual data. Another example is if you got a large deal in the system, at certain stages, all of a sudden you get help from your managers. And that's help that you need, like a hole in the head. Right? Yeah. You don't need that. The worst thing you can do at that stage in sales is, by the way, is bringing your manager to meet the client. It's only bringing in risks. So they keep the deal at like 20%. No deal goes from the stage 20% to close if it's a certain value. That just means they haven't actually fed the pipeline. So you go, well, it's a win. Who cares? Well, let's say you're selling a big project and it goes from 20% to close in one day. That means that all these months you're working on the deal, you could have predicted you needed the resources to deliver that project. But your CRM hasn't actually informed the rest of the organization that those resources are needed.
So closing a good deal can be a problem because you're not ready to execute.
Well, closing a good deal is always great if you told the organization, this is what's happening, this is the status, this is where we're at, and you need to build capacity, whether it's people that deliver the project or actually the inventory to deliver
it. So a better position would be predicting capacity you need rather than someone turning up and say, well, we've got a deal, and the production manager going, well, that's a problem we've got to have, but we'll make it happen. So you
Correct.
Can be ahead of the curve.
Correct.
Does that kind of lead into the everywhere idea?
Well, the everywhere is twofold. So number one, especially now with COVID, right? We are working from home. We're not sitting in the office. So we don't communicate face-to-face as much. We don't ring the bell that we signed the deal and all that stuff. So getting a CRM in there, we all work from the same slate, right? Whether you deal with customer support, you can go into CRM and you see all the customer support elements. You see if the client actually paid their bills. Good CRM is integrated everywhere in the business because it's a strategy. And by the way, an invoice is a customer-facing document. A lot of people forget that.
So you're seeing, that's all good, all the invoice and all the paperwork, but ringing a bell. Have you had that in your business before?
Oh, yeah. I actually worked in, well, it's not like a boiler room, but yeah, we rang a bell when a big deal came in. And what you see now in CRM is also gamification. So you get badges and deal champs and you name it. And keeps people, again, engaged and motivated. The second part of everywhere is your salesperson is not always selling from the office. So what you can't have is your salesperson driving around or flying around, or currently not flying, but going and visiting customers and only updating the CRM when they're back in the office on Friday afternoon. You need to have a mobile access wherever they work, wherever there's an update. Make it easy, maybe just via voice, and it translate the note into an actual text, right?
So everywhere. Far as location, and Correct. Everyone knows if someone waits till Friday, it's beer o'clock first before work.
Well, that plus it doesn't get done, right?
Exactly. I was going to say that.
So everywhere means everywhere where your salesperson is, but also everywhere means is customer relationship management doesn't stop with your salesperson. It is for the entire organization.
And that's the entire team as well.
And then that means that brings it to the team is like if everyone follows these five rules, right, then you got an effective CRM. If you miss out one of those rules, then you're going to lose out on the effect. Actually, that goes really, really fast.
Before we go to the break, just want to put something to you. So say in a business or even in a not-for-profit, a fundraiser, anywhere, and I might be speaking of something I've experienced over time, you may have one person who's very good at talking, very good at just getting out there, is that extreme extrovert, and actually making the connections, but then can't use the tool and needs others to do that. Where does that lie in the secret, and where can we learn how to apply our secret better for someone like that?
Yeah. And some of my customers are like that, right? Like, oh, you know, I go out and sell, but I just call the office and they update the systems. What I've shown them is like the mobile client of a CRM. They can actually talk to the mobile client instead of doing a call. And that immediately gets synchronized in the cloud, and then everybody else can then start working on that. So there are little tools that don't necessarily, you need a lot of technical capability, right? You can have a conversational conversation with your CRM application, actually, literally, and it talks back to you and say, hey, I want to put a note for my meeting with Darren. Oh, what is your note? You talk the note, and then it's either translated into English as in type, or it attaches a little audio file to the record. So there are several things to make it as easy as possible for the salesperson, but you do need to have some discipline. That's always key. Without discipline, it fails.
You're in Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and we're talking to Matt Koopmans, discussing the secrets of CRM, and we'll go through his secret and the idea that you can use some great technologies and even things like voice to text to make your CRM updates. Back shortly.
Alive 90.5.
This was the time that I knew I should. But there's a fear in every step, and I still love where I just left. Two mountains I'm caught in the middle, can't see the forest before the trees. This climbing breaks me a little, but the hope inside of me that this lonely valley leads to a bridge over troubled dreams, to a bridge over troubled dreams. Some strength that I can't replace. Am I too tired for this healing? Are my scars now to reveal? There's two mountains I'm caught in the middle. Can't see the forest before the trees. This climb breaks me a little.
For 25 years, ATP Accounting and Taxation Professionals has been doing business accountancy, tax agency and advisory. Based in Norwest Business Park, Farid Zeki, founder of ATP, is passionate about helping clients grow their business, achieve greater profits, enjoy wealth, minimise tax, maintain cash flow and protect assets. If you are a business or individual who plans to succeed in wealth management and greater financial freedom, please call Farid on 0414 568 976 or email farid@atpaccounting.com.au. Here's always open for business connections and opportunities. atpaccounting.com.au, your friendly accounting and taxation professionals. Station sponsor.
Hey fellas, need a new suit? See Mike Sampson Clothier at Winston Hills. He's some great business suits, in fact, suits for any special occasion. Mike also has a complete range of accessories, such as business or formal shirts, ties, belts and shoes, as well as plenty of casual wear for the season ahead. Mike Sampson Clothier is located at Shop 21, Winston Hills Mall, and is a proud sponsor of Monday Magazine with Happy Jack. And, of course, your sound, your community, 90.5.
Find it hard to tune in? Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
Nine minutes to one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And Mario's not with us today, but we're carrying on, and I'm flying solo. And in the studio with me is Matt Koopmans, talking all about CRM strategy and tools. And Matt, do you want to summarize what we've been talking about so far today?
Absolutely, Darren. So the beginning of any CRM is actually the strategy on what you want to achieve, right? So again, we mentioned three value disciplines: customer excellence, customer intimacy, operational excellence, and product leadership. Now, how you choose between the three is a longer engagement. It can be like follow the market. It can also be like, no, I want to be different than everybody else. So it's follow that. And once you have that strategy, you need to put in some metrics in place. How am I going to measure this? And once you have your metrics in place, your strategy, metrics, like what are my targets, then you can start looking at, okay, now what do I need to capture in order to measure those KPIs, the key performance indicators that I have.
So KPIs, key performance indicators, yeah. That leads us to the idea of your secret.
And then you come to the CRM saying, okay, I need to capture these things in all my customer engagements. That's how you configure your CRM. So configuring the CRM without the strategy means you configure your CRM, but you don't know what you're going to measure. So you're basically asking people to enter stuff.
Most definitely strategy first.
Strategy first. Then you go like, how do I measure if I'm on track? Then, okay, I know what to measure. How do I measure it? And that's where the CRM tool comes in. And not just the CRM tool, but actually whole business platform, like anything that engages with the customer. And then the secret comes in, like, okay, but how do I get my people to use this?
And so that again is... Let me hear. It's Matt Koopmans' secret on CRM.
Secret on CRM. Keep it simple. Keep your team engaged. Keep it consistent. Keep the data real. Get it everywhere. And again, this is to the secret T of team. You can't do this isolated. Your whole team needs to be on board.
The secret of CRM. How can you help the business listeners today with putting this all in place?
So for many years, we've been offering clients CRM solutions, and we look at CRM strategies with them as well. So go to AureliandeskGroup.com. And contact me there. There's a contact me form. I'm happy to have a discussion with you on what your CRM needs are or any other digital business needs. And you can connect with me over there. And otherwise, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Matt Koopmans in Sydney.
The only Matt Koopmans, the one and only Matt Koopmans that you need to talk about to help you with your CRM strategy and to put it all in place. And it's Matt Koopmans at Aurelian Group. That's Aurelian-Group.com.
Matt Koop, MATTKOOP. At Aurelian-Group.com.
And that's the email address. Just say it once more for our listeners.
Matt Koop, MATTKOOP, at Aurelian-Group.com.
Any parting thoughts for listeners on their CRM?
Have a good think about how you engage with your customers and how you can maximize that value for both yourself and your clients, because your clients will thank you for that by giving you more sales.
You're on Business Insights with Mario and Darren. You've been listening to Matt Koopmans from Aurelian Group. Please get in contact if you are needing some great advice about your CRM strategy and the tools and how to put it all together. Coming up after the news, we're going to be taking a bit different tack and talking about all things podcasting with Tim Beanland, the podcast master, here on Business Insights on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.